Okay, let's get rolling here. Thank you everyone for coming. Tonight's shir should be B'schus Refuah Shleima for Baruch ben Zelda Esther and Esther Tehila Bas Aryeh Tzipora B'soch Shar Chol Yisrael. I think on the flyer it was Bedika, Bir, Mechira, and more. It's the topic for tonight. I do not think I thought about what I was getting myself into. First of all, Hilchos Pesach is massive. It's so big. There's so much to talk about. And you can spend, like the Kollel is this year, learning Hilchos Pesach literally all year. Rabbi Brandon and the rest of the Kollel, they're studying Hilchos Pesach from before Rosh Hashanah. And they're still going, and there's plenty more to learn. So tonight, it's definitely not going to be exhaustive. Hopefully, we'll do Rosh Hashanah, and we'll talk about certain things that are pertinent to Bedikas Chametz and a little bit of Bior. I'm not sure if we're going to talk about Mechira. It could be we'll have a special shiur before Pesach and Mechira, because next week the plan is to talk more in Yonei Seder, halachos that pertain to Seder night, things to be aware of over the course of Leil HaSeder. So we might have an extra shiur on Mechira if people are interested, or we could do another shiur more in Yonei Machshava on Pesach, maybe things to say at the Seder, although the Kollel usually has shiurim to cover that. I was thinking other topics in Machshava related to Pesach, but we'll get there when we get there. Let's jump right into Bedikas Chametz. The Shulchan Aruch tells us in Simen Tav Lamed Aleph, Seif Aleph, B'tchilas Leil Arba Asar B'Nisan, on the night of the 14th of Nisan, Bod Kenes HaChametz L'Or HaNer, you should check for Chametz L'Or HaNer, with the light of a candle, B'chorin U'Bistak, and you have to check all the nooks and the crannies. You have to get in everywhere, b'chol hamakomos, shederech lahachnis sham chametz. It's a very important halacha. Where does one need to actually check for chametz? It's like a classic question. You only need to check where chametz is. I saw my mom actually was on the call. She just, I guess, signed off the Zoom for a second, so I can mention this now while she's not here. We have a rule in my house, as long as I can remember as a kid, saying there's no chametz outside the kitchen the entire year. That being said, my mom still made us clean the entire house, so I'm not sure what kind of rule it ended up being, but or maybe she knew we snuck chametz outside the kitchen. That's probably what it was. But the point is that we were always checking. Again, b'chol hamekomos shederech lahachnis sham chametz. You have to check in all areas, in all places that chametz is going to be. Let's go back for a second. Let's talk about the idea first of checking l'or haner. We'll talk about the candle, and then we'll talking about when one should start. Again, it says b'tchilas leil arba asar, at the beginning of the 14th at night. We'll talk about what that means in just a second. The Gemara in Pesach Madaf Zayin Amud Beis going on to Ches Amud Aleph at the top. So 7b and 8a discuss checking with a candle. And the Gemara there says it's best to check with a candle, and you should not use an avuka. You shouldn't use any sort of torch. And why is that? So the Gemara gives four reasons. The first one is the candle is much more effective. It can get into the nooks and the crannies. You don't want to, you know, the torch is a massive fire, but it doesn't illuminate all the small little nooks and crannies. So again, the candle is going to be more effective. Number two, the torch's light goes behind, right? So if you're holding a torch right in front of your face, where's the fire going to go? Right, it's going to go right in front of your face. The candle stays right in front of you. Number three, the torch's fire is so big that you're going to be concerned that God forbid, it's going to cause a huge fire and it's going to spread. And lastly, number four, the fire of the torch jumps, whereas the candle, the flame on top of a candle, is much more stable and it's not going to be running all over the place. The Mishnah Brura notes some of these reasons, and he says primarily, "Shitzarich livdok b'chor nubstakin v'or hayom lo yalil lezeh." Right? It's much more effective. He goes on to explain the candle is much more effective in getting into the nooks and the crannies. Now, parenthetically, if we were going to take a moment to talk a little in Yoni Machshava, I remember hearing a while ago, it must have been over a decade ago, I remember hearing a shir, and I think it was from my good friend Rabbi Yaakov Danishevsky. I'm pretty sure it's from him, although I'm not 1,000% sure. I'm pretty sure. He darshined all four of these. Of course, we know that chametz, many of the Sfarim point out, many Haggadahs point out that chametz is merumos to the Yetzer Hara. That we want to get rid of every little bit of chametz, and that's an allusion, really, to the Yetzer Hara, right? Sfarim point out, Rishonim already try to deal with, why is it that in Halacha, we have this notion of batel b'shishim, right, if a drop of milk falls into a giant pot of chalin or chicken soup or something like that. So if it's shishim, right, if it's only 1/60th or less, we'll say it's batel. And we have different shiurim, one in 120, one in 200ths, but when it comes to chametz is not batel at all, and you know, some Sfarim just throw their hands up in the air and say, it must be because it's so bad, it alludes to something so much worse. And Sfarim point out that it's an allusion to the Yitzhahara, and we have to totally rid ourselves of the Yitzhahara. So there's a lot to say al derech avoda, al derech drush, with these four reasons in terms of the small corners, making sure that there's no area left unturned, or focusing on the little areas of avodas Hashem. I'm not going to get into the whole entire shir now, but again, food for thought. Number two is to keep it in front of you, forward progress in avodas Hashem, not to get caught up in the past or what's been behind us, but to always move forward. The notion of not jumping, right? The giant torch, we said the third reason is because you're afraid that it's going to cause a fire, right? In your own avodas Hashem, in our growth in avodas Hashem, we have to make sure that we're not harming, God forbid, anybody else. And then the last one is the notion of stability. In our avodas Hashem, the day in, day out consistency that our avodas Hashem, that is required of us within our avodas Hashem. So again, that's food for thought. I think it's a very interesting thing to think about. Again, why the candle is better for getting rid of chametz or checking for chametz opposed to the torch, but we're going to go weiter with that. Based on this, contemporary posts can point out that a flashlight would be okay for the bedika. Now again, we spoke by the halachos of Neros Shabbos, we spoke about different types of candles, or not just candles, excuse me, but light bulbs. They're incandescent LED lights. Now we would say an incandescent bulb, for sure, that's going to be an ash, that's going to be a fire. But Poskim say even an LED flashlight would be okay, since it's able to get into the nooks and the crannies, and there's no concern of causing a fire or anything like that. So it's basically just as effective, if not more effective, as a candle would be. Some even say that it's more effective, it's more ideal to use a flashlight. And that being said, many people still have the minog yisrael, and they want to uphold this minog to start with a candle. Post can point out that it's a special thing to hold on to minog yisrael, as we'll talk about in a little bit with regards to putting the 10 pieces of bread out. But there's a very special notion of maintaining and upholding minog yisrael. So even if one is going to use a flashlight for bedikas chametz, many, many people still have the idea of using the feather and the little spoon that, like, the different, you know, tzedakah or the different, you know, institutions send you erev yontif to use for the bedika. But to use that candle is a very special thing. Fine. Again, just to parallel it, you wouldn't need to turn off the lights in your room in order to do the bedika with a flashlight. Now, the havamina, Rav Shmuel Kamenetzi points out, the havamina that one should do that is the following. The Gemara Pesachim says that one should not check during the day because the candle is less effective. It illuminates, you know, not as well during the day as it does during the night. In or hanir mavik bayom, Virak balayla oran mavik. The light of a candle is much more powerful, obviously, when it's dark. So you might have a havmina to think I should turn the lights off. Kamashmalan, we say you don't necessarily need to do that. So that's with regards to using a candle. So let's just review really quickly. The Gemara says four reasons why we should use a candle instead of a torch for the bedika of bedikas chametz. We paskin, the most important reason is probably so you can get into the nooks and the crannies. Based on that, one would be able to use a flashlight. And then based on that, you might have a havmina to think you should turn the lights off in the room because the flashlight will be more effective. And we say you don't necessarily need to do that. Good. Let's move on to part B. When should one start the bedika? So we said, again, the Shulchan Aruch said, B'tchilas leil arba'i asar banisan. At the beginning of the night of the 14th. So the question is, when does that happen? Should one start at Shkia, meaning at the beginning of Bein HaShemashos, let's say you start, or does one have to wait till Tzeisach Kochavim, until it's Mamash nightfall, in order to start the Bedika? So this is a Machlokes HaPoskim, and they say like this. Many people say you should start right at the beginning, right after Shkia start by Bein HaShemashos, and that's what the Magen Avram says, and the Bach says, and it also seems to be the opinion of the Vilna Gaon, the Gra. However, the Taz and the Eli Rabbah and others say, no, you should wait until Mamish nightfall. Tchilas Laila is Laila Mamish. You can't start before the nighttime because then it's not really the night. And what's the reason? What would the reason be? Well, if you want to make sure that the candle and the light is going to be most effective for the bedika, and if that's the case, you want to wait until it's Mamish nightfall so the candle will be as effective as possible. Halach L'maisa, we say that we should wait until Tzeisach Kochavim in terms of doing the bedika. Now, I'm not sure if, Baruch Hashem, all the people we have listening to the shir tonight and coming to learn, I'm not sure who holds of Rabbeinu Tam here in terms of when we end Shabbos, but there's a question in the poskim that if a person holds Rabbeinu Tam for Shabbos, do they have to wait till Rabbeinu Tam in order to start the bedika? And the poskim point out that that wouldn't be the case. They don't necessarily need to wait till Rabbeinu Tam. They can start, you know, the regular time that most people finish, let's say Shabbos, whenever we assume Tzeis HaKacham is going to be, that's when they can start the Be'ika, and that's based on a Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer actually very interestingly points out that B'dikas Chametz, it's a cool vart he has. B'dikas Chametz is different than other mitzvos that we do, let's say, at night. Sfiras Se'omer and Kriyashma, let's say, are dependent and only doable once it's Tzeis HaKochavim. If one wants to be Zariz, says the Chassam Sofer, they're able to start the B'dika just before nightfall, and it would be okay, because it's not mamish, dependent on the night. It's just that the candle would be most effective at night. And because of that, again, it has to be Samuch, it has to be close to nightfall, but if it's a little bit early, it would be okay. And therefore, even if one holds Tzeis HaKochavim, if one holds Urbeinu Tam, they would be able to start before that. And that might even be the reasoning of those who quoted the Bach and the Magen Avraham, and those who say, we can start by Bein HaShemashel, so you don't have to wait till Tzeis. So that's a little bit in terms of waiting for nightfall to hit. Now, once nightfall hits, what do you have to do? So the Shulchan Aruch tells us, Yizar ko Adam Shelo Yaskil B'Shum Malacha. A person should be careful not to do any sort of malacha. Vilo yochal ad shiyivdok. And they shouldn't eat, right? Don't do any malacha. Don't be involved in anything before you do the bedika. Vafilim yishlo is kavua lomod. Even if you have a set chavrusa or a set Monday night shir, let's say, lo yilmod ad shiyivdok. You're not supposed to learn at all until you do the bedika. And he says, if you started your chavrusa, or you started the shir before it was nightfall, the im yaskil lomod mi ba'od yom in sarach lahapsik, you don't need to stop. But the Rama says no. Yesh omrim shetzarich lahafsik v'chein nira li'ikr. The Rama says you should even stop the chavrusa then in its tracks in order to do the bedika. Now, let's go slowly. When it comes to not eating before bedika, so there's a question: does that mean like a full on meal, or does that just mean even snacking? So the Magen Avraham and the Taz say that a snack would be okay. You're just not supposed to have a whole Su'udah. And the reason being is that if you get so involved in the Su'udah, you're going to get carried away and you're going to not do the Bedika in its proper time. And that's, I would say, like almost like a throwback to, earlier in the Shulchan Aruch, where it discusses the halachos of meals and eating before Zman Tefillah. You're not supposed to eat before Zman Tefillah. Let's say if it's, Mincha, and you haven't done mincha, you're not supposed to get involved in a big meal. But posting say maybe snacking would be okay. However, the Berelacha doesn't like this. The Berelacha here in Simen Taf Lamed Aleph says, no, it's best to not eat anything. Make sure you do bedika. If it's Zman bedika, you have to do it. And only once you finish it can you then go on to have some sort of snack. And even with regards to that, the Rambam tells us in the Halachos of Chametz and Matzah, I'll just make a quick little story to give us a little break. I remember when I was in Shalavim, so Rav Gershon Teretzky gave a vod once a week, or a bayat cham, whatever it was, and he told us, maybe it was like a shmooze on dating or something like that, but he told us that there was a moment where he knew he wanted to marry his wife, and then there was a moment where he knew he made the right decision. He said, the moment he knew he wanted to marry his wife was that it was Erev Yontif, or the week before Pesach, and he wanted to, tell this girl he was seeing a nice Dvar Torah on Pesach. So he got up and said, the Rambam says in Hochos Pesach. And this girl says, no, he doesn't. He goes, what are you talking about? The Rambam says in Hilchos Pesach, parak this. And she's like, it's impossible. The Rambam has Hilchos Karban Pesach and Hilchos Chametz Matzah. There's no such thing as Hilchos Pesach. So he felt like, wow, like he's very impressed with that. And just parenthetically, he said, the moment he knew he made the right decision was that during Sheva Brachos, he went out for Minyan one morning and he came back and she was eating a leftover corned beef sandwich at 8 o'clock in the morning for breakfast. That was leftover from Shabbat Brachos the night before. And he said, once he saw that, he's like, oh, this is my kind of girl. But anyway, okay, fine. So getting back to the story here, the Rambam tells us in Hilchos Chametz Matzah that one shouldn't start eating if it's within 30 minutes to the Zman Chiyuv. Again, and that's very similar to what we have in Hilchos Tefillah of not starting meals 30 minutes before the Zman Chiyuv. So that's a little bit in terms of eating before Bedikas Chametz. Very interestingly, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky points out, and he notes poskim who say that even learning the halachos of bedikas chametz shouldn't be done. Meaning, once it's zman bedika, so do the bedika. Don't start hacking a cup and learning and everything like that. You have to get to the bedika. Now, something that I would imagine a lot of people here do, actually, maybe take a survey. How many people put out 10 pieces of bread before bedikas chametz? One hand? Two hand? Thumbs up. Okay, we got some chevra. Anybody, I don't know if they have a thumbs down emoji here. Then maybe that's not so nice. But anybody not put out 10 pieces of bread? The DoorDash, what do you guys do? Put out 10 pieces of bread? You do. Okay, fine. So I think your Rabbi Prero, I don't think he puts out 10 pieces of bread. And it could be because it was a Mishnah Berurah. You'll see in just a moment. Okay, so the Rama tells us like this. The Rama says, V'nogin lahaniach petite chametz b'makom shim tzaim habodik. Put out the 10 pieces of bread, scatter them all around the house, so that they will be found. Kedei shelo yehei birchaso livatala, so that the bracha we make on bedikas chametz is not going to be a bracha livatala. Mihu. Im lo nasan lo ikiv. If you don't put them out, it's not terrible. Didas kol adam im habracha livar im nimtza. Because when we make the kavana of the bracha should be, if I find it, then I'm going to burn it, right? The bracha of al biur chametz, which we'll talk about also in a moment. But the kavana of the bracha is that if I find something, then I will burn it. But it's not that I'm going to find anything. So again, we have this minog of putting it out, so it's not going to be any sort of bracha levatala. The Gra and others say that, again, and like we kind of just noted in the Ramah, that the bracha can be made even without putting out the pieces of chametz. And the proof, one proof mentioned is the following. If one didn't put any bread out, or let's say like this, if one didn't do a bedika before Pesach started, right? It's very interesting. I think this is in Simin Tof Lamed Dalid. No, maybe Vav. I'm not going to flip to it now and try to find it. But if a person doesn't do Bedikas Chametz on Leil Yudalad, so they should be doing on the morning, the day of Yudalad Erev Pesach. If a person doesn't do it Erev Pesach, they have to do it on Yontif, over Yontif, on Chol HaMoed. And if a person doesn't do it over Chol HaMoed, so then even there's a din that they have to do it after Pesach, which is a fascinating thing. But I think it's the Pri Chadash who says, if you have to do a Bedika on Pesach, you're not going to find any chametz. I would certainly hope you're not going to find any chametz in your bedika, right? So we see that it's not about necessarily finding any chametz on the bedika. So that's one of the rayos brought. Now the machlokas, whether we make this bracha, or it's a suffik, bracha levatala, so it's very much related to the halachos of sukkah. Why? Because there's a machlokas between the Ri and Rabbeinu Tam, and it's quoted in a Rush in Maseches Brachos in the first parak, about sleeping in a sukkah. Do you make a bracha on sleeping in a sukkah? Right, and the Gra says it's a similar machlokas when it comes to the bracha of hamapila at night. Right, do you make the bracha on sleeping in the sukkah? Let's say you can't fall asleep. Let's say you hear the owls hooting or the birds chirping or whatever other chevra outside the sukkah, and you can't fall asleep because of that. Right, so is that a bracha levatala? If you make a birchas hamapila and then you can't fall asleep, you're tossing and turning. Is that a bracha levatala? So that's a little bit in terms of where this machlokas is borrowed from. But the Mishnah Berurah says that most poskim assume you don't need to put out 10 pieces of bread. And again, I think he has a lashon. Achin yesh li zar harbe shlo yovar echad min haptitim. You should be very careful to make sure you don't lose any of these pieces of bread. Meaning if you put out 10, I think it's my father-in-law told me the story. The DoorDash can correct me if they remember this. But I think my father-in-law said he used to put out 10 pieces of bread and then there was one year that they only found 8 or 9. And they were freaking out. They were turning the house upside down to try to find his last piece of bread. I'm not sure what ended up happening, but I do know in future years they stopped putting out 10 pieces of bread. I think in my house we have like a list when we do it to have like a little bit of a checklist in terms of put it here, this place, okay, good. To make sure you don't lose it. Fine. Let's move on. When it comes to davening Maariv, for those of us who daven Maariv, so it's better to daven Maariv with a minyan before Bedika. There is a shaila, though, if a person davens biyachidus in general, right? So let's say someone's wife is a nurse and she has the PM shift and he often davens Maariv at home biyachidus, right? So the question is, do you do Bedika by yourself, or meaning, do you do Maariv biyachidus before Bedika, or do you do Bedika first? So I think we assume it's better to do bedika before Maariv, if I remember correctly. Okay, fine. If one can't do bedika on Yudal, Leil Yudal at Erev Pesach at night, so it's better to do it on Leil Yud Gimel than doing it the daytime of Erev Pesach. Everybody follow that? Meaning there's an idea to do the Bedika Dafka at night and not during the day. So even if we're going to be moving a day further away from Pesach, better to do it on Yud Gimel than Erev Pesach during the day. And again, it's based on this notion that it's better to check at night since the candle, or let's say the flashlight, will be more effective at night. Again, even though the 14th during the day is more of a Zman Bedika, so to speak, than the 13th at night. And again, even though you're moving it a little further back, again, you would still, make a bracha. Now, getting to the bracha, what exactly is the bracha on Bedika Aschamit? So the bracha, the Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Taf Lam Beis, Si'if Aleph Kodem Shiyasa Livdok Yivarech Asher Kedashana B'Mesosav V'Tzivanu Al Bi'ur Chamit. Right? If you're just doing Bedika, right, this is like a good question to ask like little kids. If you think you make a bracha on it, what bracha should you make? So it's, what's going on? Why is it Al Bior Chametz? Now it happens to be the poskim note. If you accidentally say Al Bedikas Chametz, you're still Yotzis on your mitzvah and you're good. And if one forgot to say it right before the Bedika, so at any point in the middle of Bedika, you're still allowed to make that bracha. the Torah points out at the beginning of the Siman that the reason we say the bracha of Al Bior Chametz is, again, and we're making the Al Bior Chametz before the Bedika, is because the Bedika is the beginning of the Bi'ur. Right? The Mishnah Berurah has a lashon also, I underlined that. The HaBedika hu haschalas HaBi'ur. Looking for the Chametz is the beginning of the process of the burning of the Chametz, of the ridding ourselves of the Chametz. And right after Bedika, of course, we do a bittel, we say Kol Chamira, or Mevatel any Chametz that we might have. The Beis Yosef comes along and explains this rationale a little bit more, saying that the bittel that follows the Bedika, again, the bittel Chametz, the nullification of all Chametz that we have, that follows the Bedika, is effectively a Bior for any Chametz that we don't find. Right? Are we with me on that? If you find Chametz, we're going to be burning it the next day. But there could very well be chametz that we don't find, but we do a kol chamira. So we're effectively doing the same thing. The tashbisu, the ridding of ourselves, our chametz, can be done through destroying it, through, we're going to see in a little bit, scattering it, or destroying it, burning it, or it could be done through a bittel, through a nullification of it. So the kol chamira, the bittel chametz that we do right after the bedika is effectively a bior. So that's kind of what the Beis Yosef explains. And if you still think the bracha should be al bedikas chametz and not al bior, so let's say you checked and you didn't find anything, right? Or let's say like this. Let's say you checked and you found, but you didn't burn. That's the vart. Let's say you checked, you found chametz, but you didn't burn it. So the vart is you didn't do anything. And you just have like a bag of chametz now. You didn't do anything. The mitzvah is not to just check for it. The mitzvah, the bedika is a hechatimsa to get to the biur. It's how we get to the burning of the chametz. So we have to recognize that the tachlis is a mitzvah, is the bior or the bittel, it's the getting rid of the chametz, and not just the searching for it. And Vayter, the Kolbo, points out that the lashon of al bior chametz is kolal, it includes the bedika also. So when we say al bior chametz, you know, latent in that lashon that Chazal put together in the nusach ha-bracha, the bedika is implied as well. So that's a little bit in terms of the bracha of bedika. Now, in terms of the actual bedika, once we say the bracha of al bior chametz, says the Shulchan Aruch, yizar shlo yidaber bein ha-bracha l'tchilas ha-bedika, you're not supposed to for sure talk between the bracha and the beginning of the search. But vayter tov shlo yidaber b'dvarim achirim ad shi'igmor kol ha-bedika. It's best to not speak at all until you finish your bedikas chametz. Now, Rav Shmuel points out that while you may have thought that this is mi'ikr hadin, right? This is like it's a halacha mamish that you're not allowed to speak. He says, if we finish up the Shulchan Aruch, it says kideshi yasim elibo livdo kol amakomos shemachnisim bo chametz. Meaning, the reason you're not supposed to talk while you're doing a bedika is because you don't want to get carried away in a conversation, you want to start schmoozing, and then be a little bit, you know, how many times have we been on the phone or whatever it is, or listening to something while we're, I don't know, doing other things around the house, and we pay a little bit less attention, we get caught up in whatever the conversation is, or whatever we're listening to, and we don't get the job done to the best of our ability, right? Shiyasim elibo, we should pay attention to the bedika. So again, it's not like in iser to speak b'shas bedika, but it's best not to, so the bedika will be most effective, we'll do the best job we can. And of course, the post can point out that if the dibor is related to the bedika, you know, oh, did you check under this? Did you open that cabinet? Did you whatever? You know, oh, did you make sure to check all the pockets in your coats or something like that? So that would be okay. Of course, that would be fine. When it comes to the kol chamira that we say after the bedika, so the Shulchan Aruch points out in Simin Tov Lamed Dalid. One second, the kol chamira that we say, I think it's Tov Lamed Dalid. Let me just find it. The Yomer Habitul Belashon Shemivin. We should say it. Right, Acher Bedika Miyad Belayla Yivat Lanu. The Yomer Kol Chamira De Isay Birshusi De Lo Chazise U De Lo Biarte Libato Belahevik After the Ara. All chametz that we have in my Rishus that I didn't see, that I didn't find, that I didn't burn, should be bottled, should be nullified like the dust of the earth. That's the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah comes along and says Yomer Habitul Belashon Shemivin. We should say it in a language that we understand. That being said, the Mishnah Berurah says if you understand the general idea, even if you don't know every single word to translate mamish, but you get the thrust of the issue, so then that would be sufficient in terms of the kol chamira, in terms of the bittel. I don't know how many of us are home or away for Pesach, but when it comes to leaving for Yontif, so the Shulchan Aruch tells us that if a person is leaving his house more than 30 days before Pesach, so then and you don't plan on coming back before Yontif, one does not have to do a bedika. That being said, you still have to do a bittel before Yontif, as the Ramah points out. And if a person is leaving within 30 days to Pesach and doesn't plan on coming back, so then they have to do a bedika with a candle before one leaves, meaning the night before you leave, you have to do a bedika, and then you do your bittel chametz afterwards, but this bedika is done without a bracha. So that's with regards to bedika. Let's quickly chazer what we said about bedika, and then we're going to turn to Bior for the next couple minutes. We spoke about checking with a candle. We spoke about how a flashlight would be sufficient. That would be okay. We spoke about how you do not necessarily need to turn the lights off in the room when you're checking with a flashlight or a candle. So that was with regards to the light that we use. With regards to starting, we said really you should be starting by Tzeis HaKochavim. That's the ideal. If you want to start a drop early, Yesh HaMilismoch, to start in the middle of Bein HaShemashos, but it seems to be that Tzeis would be ideal. We spoke about doing the mitzvah immediately and not eating and not doing work and not learning or anything like that before doing the mitzvah. Rather, do bedika right away. One exception to that rule would be if you daven Maariv on a regular basis at the beginning of Tzeis, so maybe daven Maariv at the beginning. That was a little bit of discussion in the poskim as well. We spoke about the longstanding minhag Yisrael to put out 10 pieces of bread throughout the house to make sure that your bracha is not a bracha levatala. But that in and of itself was a machlokas, whether or not you dafka need to put out 10 pieces of bread, because the bracha is really on the searching and not necessarily the finding. With regards to the bracha, we spoke a little bit about biur chametz and why it's not bedikas chametz, al biur chametz, I should say. And we spoke about not speaking until you finish the whole entire bedika. And we mentioned a little bit about the kol chamira that we say after. Any questions up until here? Okay, we're going to go weiter. If you have anything, feel free to throw it into the chat. So with regards to the biur chametz, the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Simin Tav Mem Hei, let's just turn to it. So ketzad biur chametz, how do you burn your chametz? Well, either sorfo, you can burn it with fire, o poro vizor laruach, or zorko layam. Either you can, you know, kind of crumple it up into a bunch of little crumbs and scatter them wherever you want, or zorko layam, or throw them into the water. One second. The Ramah then tells us that the minhag really is to burn it, and that would satisfy all opinions. Again, this is based on a Mishnah Maseches Pesachim, which has a machlokas between the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yehuda with regards to how to fulfill the chiv of tashbisu seor mibateichem, right? To get rid of all the yeast in your homes. Rabbi Yehuda says the only way to do that is to burn it, while the Chachamim come along and say no. You can burn it, you can crumble, you can throw it into the river, it's not a problem. And the Rambam Paskins like the Chachamim, again, a little bit more expansive, you don't just have to burn. Again, the Ramah says it's best to burn because then you satisfy all opinions and it's not a problem. Fine, the Mishnah Berurah then comes along and tells us that the minhag is to burn the chametz in its own, let's say, bonfire or grill or fire pit or something like that. Don't do it on your stovetop. And this is based on the Maharil, who explains that the ashes, right, whatever is left over from the chametz, so you're not allowed to get hana from that either. Meaning, just like you're not allowed to get hana from chametz, you're not allowed to get hana from whatever, is remaining. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah advises that you should have a separate bonfire for the for the chametz. I know people who burn it on their grill because they sell their grill for Pesach, and that's not a problem. Rav Shlomo Zalman points out in Halichos Shlomo that it's best to burn the chametz without dousing the bread or the chametz with gasoline or lighter fluid or anything like that. So the fire is the entity that's destroying the chametz, and it's not made inedible before it gets burnt, right? So you could use lighter fluid in theory, right, on whatever the wood or whatever you're using to kind of make this fire, but it's best to not put lighter fluid or gasoline on the actual chametz itself, because then the food becomes inedible, right? It's not roi l'achilas kelev, and then it's not considered chametz anyway. So you want to make sure, if we're talking about burning the chametz, so you want to make sure that it's the fire that consumes the chametz, right? So that's just with regards to that. And then the last two haros I will mention tonight is the following. The Mishnah Berurah tells us that if you leave over, you should leave over at least a kezias of chametz that you're not selling in order to fulfill this mitzvah of tashbisu, in order to be mekayim this idea of burning the chametz, number one. And then the last thing we'll mention is that flushing the bread down the toilet is sufficient as well. People thought that that was like a corona, let's call it heter, but it's a Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah tells us in Simin Tafim Hei Se'iv Katan Hei, Im Mashlichu Lebeis HaKisei Hareyu Kimevor Min HaOlam Legamrei Kevin Sheshum Adam Lo Yuchal Lehanos Mimeno. It's as if it's been burnt, because no one else is going to eat that once it goes into the toilet. And that was something that I got a lot of chizik from Rav Schechter over the course of Corona. He gave a couple shiurim to guys in Smicha and things like that. So I was listening to some of these shiurim, and someone asked him, I think it was a Q&A with some of the Smicha students in the Gross Kolel, why use Kolel in Israel. And someone asked Rav Schechter, you know, which shaila over the course of Corona was most difficult for you? Now, I think the person was asking, like, emotionally, what was the most difficult, challenging question that you had to grapple with over the course of Corona? But Rav Schechter heard this question, I think, in more of a halachic sense, and said, which question halachically was most difficult for you? And he said, in a very, you know, kedarko bakodesh, in a very matter-of-fact way, he said, oh, none of them were difficult. And when the boys were kind of quiet, Rav Schechter explained, he said, you know, like when we were in Smicha with the Rav, we went through every single Shulchan Aruch, we went through every Mishnah Berurah, we didn't skip anything. And when you don't skip, and you learn it carefully, so you know it. And it might not be, you know, apply. It might not apply the moment you learn it. It might not be halach l'maisa to what's going on in your life right now. But if you're careful to learn every single Mishnah Berurah and you hold on to them, so, okay, we know what should we do if you don't have Kriyas Torah for weeks at a time. He said every single question he got, you know, throughout Corona, it was a lifetime of Hasmad and Limud Torah and not skipping and making sure he learned everything. So, you know, I think some people thought, like, oh, they're not having these big community Bior Chametzes, you know, in the parking lots of schools or shuls or anything like that. So, is it okay to flush it down the toilet? It's a Beferish and Mishnah Berurah over here. Achin im mashlichu lebeis hakisei harehu kimavor min olam legamrei kevin sheshum adam lo yuchal lehanos mimeno. So I thought that was whatever. So I got a little bit of chizik when I saw this in the Mishnah Berurah as I was preparing. So again, we should be zocha to learn lots of Torah, to know lots of Torah, to not skip so much Torah, and we should learn it and love it. So there you go. I hope everyone had a good time, and I hope to see everybody Mirtz Hashem next Monday. We'll talk about important things to keep in mind throughout Leil HaSeder. Okay? Everybody have a fantastic evening. Yeah, go for it.